Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
So, what's the story on the street anyway?
Well, I was out with my friend Jim. We were out about a week ago on Grafton Street, one of our favourite spots. It's funny, we went down the street and it was very busy with street performers.
Okay.
But our spot was free, which is probably the key spot on the street outside opposite McDonald's.
Oh,
and
okay.
So we started there, we worshipped the Lord a little bit. But then I felt the Lord wanted me to preach. So I got up my little stool and I shared a little message. And the word was the story about Jesus in the boat. When he told the lads, look, we want to go to the other side. So he got in the boat and he fell asleep. He was tired like yourself, John.
Jesus,
you know, started snoozing and snoring in the boat. And a storm whipped up. And the lads thought, this is it. We're going to die. And they woke Jesus up and said, don't you care, you know. And Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. And he calmed the sea. And then they were shocked. And you know what they said, John? They said, what manner of man is this? And the interesting thing is, the person in the boat with them, Jesus Christ, who instantly and miraculously calmed a storm, is the very same person who was there at the very creation, who made the heavens and the earth, and made the mankind and all the animals and everything. And the truth is that you and me were fearfully and wonderfully made, you know. Now, I'm fearfully made, and you're wonderfully made.
And Tony is.
And Tony, of course, we all are. If we knew, people think they know everything with biology and medicine.
Yeah.
The truth is, they only know the dust on the surface of the whole thing. The complexity of the human body is so complex. And if you and me were to fully understand it, we'd then understand that we would then fear God in a new way, because we'd realize what an amazing creator he is. You know.
Yeah, I agree to fully with what you're saying. But I've discovered this, that if you understanding of Scripture and knowledge of the Word of God and only comes through revelation, not through education.
That's
so
right.
Now I know in the trend in society today for the last number of years, in the past, I don't know over how many years, but in the past number of years, a lot of the scientists that never gave credit to God, the creator, there has to be a creator out there that put it all together. They've never given them credit. But the latest statistics from the scientists all over the world, that they've turned the tables now and that they're believing that there is a creator.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that people can come to the understanding of Jesus or anything else until they repent and invite Christ into their lives.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And here's the point, John. There's the head and there's the heart.
That's
and the point is that...
And the heart is not the pump in your chest now. It's your soul, the centre of your being.
I'm going to give you another science lesson if you're ready there, John.
Ready to learn.
Do you know, inside your heart, they've now discovered that there are connections similar to the ones in your brain. And they've also discovered they're also in your gut, you know, that like throughout your body, there's an incredible relationship between all these parts of the body.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I believe the heart is primarily a blood pump, but it's bigger than that. But without going into the whole science of it, what I'm saying is God speaks to your conscience, you know, and your intelligent mind very often cuts it out and says, nonsense, don't want to hear it, you know. But the truth is, you must educate the heart, think of it in the widest terms, the heart. Before the head, because I ask people on the street, I get people come to me and they say, oh, you know, they've loads of questions. They're genuine questions sometimes.
Right.
And a lot of times, and I discern this fairly quickly, they're just smart aleck questions, because just to get off the topic or to appease their own conscience. And I realize that if they're acting in the smart aleck mode, I say to them, John, I say, tell me this, if I answer all your questions, will you get down on your knees now and give your heart to Jesus Christ? And they say, no. And I say, see, the problem is not in your head, it's in your heart. And the amazing thing is they agree with me.
Mm.
They understand when I put it to them that way, that the problem is their heart is like nuts, hard.
Yeah.
And this is the other thing about the hard heart. The Word of God makes it very clear that it brings deception. So that when you're stubborn and proud against God, you will be led into deception. So that's kind of a warning thing, you know. We must be like children before our Creator.
Well, don't you think then, from my experience anyway, I figure that all the people that I've dealt with over the years, and you too, I find that most of the problems today when it comes to suicide or too much drink, or all the problems we have with our young people today, and drink is the big one. Mm. It's massive attitude. I think I give out about the institutional churches, but there's one thing that I'm grateful for, that number one, my mother and father taught me how to cross the road and what to do in different situations. And I'm glad that I learned the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
So where does the conscience start with young people? I think everything starts in the home.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think in today's society, in many ways, things got worse. Because a lot of parents are afraid to say to their kids a lot of correction things. Because they're afraid they might, guess what, offend them.
That's true.
And it's a whole lot of pop psychology, which is really doing a lot of damage out there. The truth is, people need boundaries. You and me need boundaries.
Oh,
but children more so need boundaries.
Well, you know, if you don't cross the road properly, look up and down, they're going to get a belt of a bus.
Yeah, or imagine you drive off in a car and you say, oh, this driving the left, that's a load of nonsense. I'll do
that's
what I
right.
want.
That's
well,
right.
I mean, you'll end
and
up...
And it also says about the law, you know, ignorance of the law...
is no defence.
...is no defence.
No.
And ignorance of God's law is no defence either.
No.
So it's up to, like, if you and I are evangelists, for to be able to talk to people out straight and say, listen, God loves you no matter what you've done last night or the night before or ever in the past. He loves you totally, totally unconditionally. Now, so why don't you repent? Like, for instance, the Pope a few weeks ago, and I liked the guy, and he went to talk to all the people in Brazil. And there's a couple of million of them.
And what do you say to them?
And he said, it was some of this, just an abstract from it, he said, to feed the poor.
Right.
And I'm going to write him a letter. I told the listeners that over the last few weeks. I'm going to have it half written.
Right.
And I'm telling him that he should have added to that. He should talk about the poor in spirit, not the hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Your father was talking about the hungry all over the world.
Yeah.
Because I believe this. If we bring people into the knowledge of the Word of God and get them to accept Christ and ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus says, and God says, you can't come to me unless my Father draws you, and if the Spirit of Christ does not live in you, you don't belong to Him.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say to Francis, to say, come here, you messer, why didn't you say to them, listen, I'm a sinner. Most of you people out there are sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hand our lives over to Christ. Let's repent for our sins and ask for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now I said, if the Holy Spirit lives in people, they'll feed the poor. There'll be no want of many robberies and murders and everything else because they'll be in the Spirit of Christ.
That's
the Spirit
right.
of Christ will be living in them.
See, God's desire all along. People think of the Old Testament, God's plan was that they'd just live under the law and be kind beaten down that way.
That's
it wasn't quite like that. Before the law, there was the Abrahamic covenant. And God's plan was that they would listen and hear His voice. This is the wild thing, John. And the plan is the same today.
God's voice through Abraham.
But God's desire, and it's fulfilled obviously in Christ. When Jesus died, paid for our sins, went to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit, we can now be restored in our broken relationship with God. We can be reunited with Him and we can hear His voice. Jesus said something. Jesus wasn't a liar. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And God's desire is that people would be His sheep.
That's right.
Now, it's a whole other topic, the different ways you hear the voice of God. But the point is, if you are a believer, if you know Jesus Christ personally, you have heard the voice of God.
Yeah, but to bring people into that relationship.
That's right. That's so
that
important.
I talked to a group of people during the week, and everything must be Christ-centered.
You know, and somebody said, so I was looking at something the other day, and they were talking about gay pride. And do you know what I focused on? Not the gay word, but the pride word. And the truth is, the biggest sin mankind has, whether you're gay or straight or whatever way you are, male or female, black or white or blue or green or whatever, is pride.
Right.
It's man sitting up on his high horse thinking, I don't need that Creator God. I can do my own thing.
That's right.
Well, you know, you're in such a deep bondage and you're in such a dangerous position.
Yeah.
But you know what? The love of God has reached out to you. Now, I'm sorry to talk so much, but I've shut my mouth after this last one, John.
No, I know you have a big mouth, so you might as well.
Better use it while I'm at it.
Might as well. Yeah. No, the thing about it is to have discussion about it.
Yeah.
Because the way I see the situation, God loves us whether we love him or not.
That's right.
Now, whether you go to church or not, there's nothing you've ever done that prevents him from loving you.
That's right, right. Yeah.
And it's just so hope important. That you get. I don't worry about my children what's going on in their lives. For the one simple reason that Scripture says quite clearly to me that I understand fully, you and your household will be saved.
Yeah.
Does your children have to sin and they have to live their own lives, but be there for them? Sorry for interrupting you.
No, that's good. And you're raising the question about how to bring people into the knowledge of God.
Yes, terminal
problem. And I was just saying that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus said those words, take this cup from me, I was talking to a dear friend yesterday whose husband's dying at the moment.
Okay.
I'll talk to you more about that in a minute. But she was saying that the cup was the fact that Jesus knew he was going to be ripped apart and separated from the Father. And that was the worst thing about the cross of Calvary. Not the pain of the nails or not the humiliation of being stripped naked. None of those things. It was the fact that he was going to be separated from his Father. But the good news buried in there is that he did that so that we could be reunited. So that the legal price for sin, which involved death and the shedding of blood, could be paid.
Right.
And not by a thief on a cross or someone else on a cross, only by an innocent Lamb of God on the cross, who was Jesus.
True, yeah.
And through that, we have hope if we turn to him. If we turn to him.
Right, yeah.
See?
Well, that's up to people like you and I.
Yeah.
Evangelists.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of preachers in the world and priests and everything else in the world. I've dealt with lots and lots of them in different countries and in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a terrible lot of hurt in the institutional churches by members of the institution, pastors and deacons,
right,
and priests and everything else, that they were ordained by man and not ordained by God. Jesus says, you can't come to me unless my Father draws you.
Yeah.
And that's what we do in the healing and confession prayer. You ask people if it's their time for it to happen. They repent for the sins, God hears their prayer.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. Then they can ask for the Holy Spirit and overcome the desires of the flesh. Then what about your friend that's very ill or something?
Yeah, no, a very good friend of mine. He's dying, you know. And
I just want to check.
We might get some news in the next day or two about it, you know.
Yeah.
And a real sweet guy. He loves the Lord. He really does. And his
wife, just give
too.
His Christian name and the listeners can
It's Finbar, you know.
Okay.
And his wife, Margaret, we met yesterday. And we had tea with her. And you know, she's a lovely lady. She's deeply in love with Jesus, and she fully understands something which really amazed me. The idea of covenant, you know, that she had a God-ordained covenant with her husband, you know, and so too do we.
What do you mean, in agreement?
Yeah, but
explain the word covenant.
Wow, this is cool, John. Wait till you hear this. The way covenants were made in the Old Testament, the proper way, was through the shedding of blood. Okay, and a marriage, when people get married, you know, and they make love for the first time, there is a shedding of blood, and the covenant is sealed that way, right? So, but between us and Jesus Christ, there's another covenant, a more important one, because his shedding of his blood, we have a promise and a security with him that we will get to heaven when we put our trust in him. We were still, despite just talking words of faith amongst each other, there was still the pain, because there was going to be this pulling apart. You could see it coming that he was dying. That in the marriage, there's like two metals joined together, but there's like an alloy. There's a bit in the middle that is inseparable, and it just gets ripped and shredded. So when somebody loses their partner, you know, there is the pain. We have to deal with this. We have to go through grieving, etc.
That's right.
And you cannot deny it. But here's something I'll say to you, John. We were not originally created for death.
No.
Death is an outrage. It's an aberration on God's creation. You know, it's a result of the fall.
That's right.
We do go through it. We do go through the separation. Of course, there's a glorious reuniting if the couple both know the Lord and they you know, and
they
of course they meet each other.
They can cope by the power of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
Because Jesus said, Father, why? And there's lots of people listening today. I know they are sick. I know them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going through bad times, emotional and medically and everything else. And Jesus said, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
And the message for the people that are not well today is to say, God will not forsake you. If you have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ, after repenting for your sins and have the Holy Spirit living in you, you will cope in each situation.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things I like to do, John, because I'm an architect, I like to do sketches when I'm on holidays, you know, with the soft pencil right. and two things. I was down in Ardmore, County Waterford on a holiday years ago, and I was in the graveyard, and there was some lovely old buildings and things. So I started sketching these, but then I noticed one of the gravestones, it said, Death, where is your sting?
That's right, yeah.
And it says, for the Saviour has died. And what I did is I did a rubbing of this thing. So I got the lovely old script on the bottom of the drawing.
All
and
right,
then I did a drawing of the rest of the graveyard.
I know, yeah.
And I have it at nice. Home now. But yeah. I just think it's powerful that the sting that's in death, and we all know the pain of funerals of loved ones, that the actual sting can be taken out by God himself.
Yeah.
You know, pain is there still, but the sting is taken out.
That's right.
And that gives us great hope. And of course, the person who dies, if they're in the Lord, they're in a much, much better place.
Well, there is peace, because I've worked to hospitals quite a lot. And I know, dealing with people, that when you pray with them, it's amazing when you say the healing and conversion prayer. It's very similar to the one I say here on a Sunday. And the results from that are huge.
Yeah.
I went into a house last week. I was asked to go, and I do have to get time out so I can manage the Lord's time, the way she's bedbound and everything else, and I have to know where I'm going really so I can get back in a certain time. And I walked into a house anyway, and was afraid a group of seven people, say. And the man two men in the household, but one of them was very young, and had a great presence about him, was well-spoken and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know, I never met him before. Now, I met some of the women in the house, you know, and the problems that I was going to talk to them about. And I explained about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit and repentance and the whole lot. And I didn't know really, I was trusting in the Lord that I was after saying the right things and that the Spirit would move. And the first person that stepped out of the bunch of people was the man.
Yeah.
It turned out that he was a very learned individual. I said he had a great presence about him. You knew by his appearance, you knew by his language and everything else. But he was the first to stand out of the bunch and say, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And remember your friend Graham was on a few months ago here. And he was your friend, the pastor.
Oh, Chris.
Chris.
Now, he beat you up if you call him a pastor, but yeah, forgive you that.
But he...
of course he is, but he doesn't like titles.
Pastor, yeah. But he has said that his wife knew she had cancer.
That's right, and she's late.
And she didn't take any treatment for it or something like that.
Well, I'm not sure about that end of it, but the doctor did give her...
a plan for her, and she wanted to go. That's the type of peace you get from having a relationship with Christ and the Spirit living in you.
She knew her days were numbered by God, not by doctors. That really takes huge pressure off everybody.
Of course,
knowledge that God, before we were born, knew the numbers of our days.
That's right.
And hard to understand, John.
Before conception. Well, my mother, I remember the morning she died, I closed her eyes and she said to my brothers and sisters, she said to me, John, thank you for telling me about limbo, that doesn't exist, and that I see I have a family member in heaven already.
Yeah.
And a woman during the week, I said the same thing to her. She was a doctor. She had an abortion when she was 14, got married later, a few years afterwards, married a doctor, they'd no children, the husband is dead, and she was in a terrible way, but heard me explain and telling my mother's story, and she phoned me up and she said, John, I'm delighted. Will you say that prayer with me again? I said, I will. And we did. Now she said, I know I have family in heaven.
Wow, that powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.